Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, my little chilly monads, and welcome. Minisode 181.
Yeah. It's good to have you back. It's always good to have you here.
Oh.
I'm excited for today, actually, boys. But I'm just going to hand it to you. I'm very curious what you guys brought for today's minisode.
I have something called News of the Weird. There's a website called You Express that's like got like Dear Abby and all those other columns on it. And it's like a smattering of weird things that have happened lately. So it's the News of the Weird. And it's from uexpress.com. So I just wanted to go over a couple of them because they're really fucking weird.
Okay.
First one, Father Justin is an AI priest created by Catholic Answers, which is a Christian group from San Diego. And it was claiming that it was a real member of the clergy and it was performing sacraments. And it told people he was a priest in Assisi, Italy. And he shared views on sexual issues. He took confession. He always said, "Go in peace, my child, and sin no more." He told one user that they could baptize their baby in Gatorade. And the president of Catholic Answers said, quote, "We chose the character to convey a quality of knowledge and authority. Many people, however, have voiced concerns about this choice. So they rebranded it away from being a priest and called him now Virtual Apologist Justin. Because he doesn't
like
say
something
he's a
you link,
anymore.
Like you give to your girlfriend that you don't want to break up with in person in like college.
It's like,
you
know, a Cyberpunk 2077 side quest. I don't even know what to say about
it's
that. That's crazy.
Wild. I did hear of the story of this. I didn't know the last part that they renamed him and shit, but that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh man, I went there right now because I was going to try and talk to him, but apparently you have to get a 5-digit code to talk to Justin.
I don't know. Jesus would not lock himself behind a 5-digit
digital
code.
Jesus wouldn't have a paywall. That's no. True. That's true. No.
That's true.
Not very Jesus-like at all.
That's lame. That's how you know he's not real. Next one.
Although, hey, Gatorade? That's some good baptism right there. No.
It'll keep your baby
a little infant,
hydrated.
A little extra electrolytes as well as Jesus?
Yeah.
Not bad.
It'll be able to use
it's
that water
need.
More effectively. Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
April 25th, there was in Marysville, Ohio. This is a theater called the Avalon Theater. And somebody who worked there noticed somebody acting suspicious the night before and went to the restroom where they were acting suspicious and found $25,000 in cash in the restroom. And then 2 days later, also in Marysville, in a KFC restroom, there were $12,000. And the authorities think the money's legit and that they're connected and that there's no way that it twice in 1 week isn't part of one thing. And they have no idea what's going on.
The story makes a lot more sense when you realize originally it was $50,000 and $24,000. And, there's $25,000 here. I don't know. That's crazy.
So crazy. Oh, my God. Or maybe it was 25 and 25, but one of them suddenly got cut in half.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, so then that's a crazy thing. Then here's another one. In Middleburg Heights, Ohio, people were trying to go to the Social Security office, and they were turned away in the early weeks of May. I would say this is when this was, maybe on May 2nd.
My birthday. How dare they?
Yeah, I know. It wasn't computer issues. It wasn't flooding. It was raccoons, according to Michael Murphy, Michael Martin of the local 3448 American Federation of Government Employees. Here's the quotes. There's urine stains on the tiles. The smoke detectors came falling down. Apparently, the animals may be eating through the wiring. And apparently, when 25% of the lights in the building went out, employees hit them up, and they had to shut down the entire building because it was infested with raccoons. Pretty crazy.
What an infestation to have.
Yeah. And then the last one that I have for you is like a kind of funny one. This is from Seaside, California. He got a letter. This guy, Etienne Constable, received a letter from his like HOA, I guess, or something like that. He had a big boat parked in his driveway for like 4 years that was just sitting there. And the city hit him up and said that the boats and trailers have to be screened side and front by a 6-foot fence. So he was annoyed because it had been 4 years and nobody had said shit. And so he got his neighbor, who was a mural artist, to paint a photo realistic image of the boat and the driveway onto the fence that he built. So that when people drove by, it still looked like there was a boat in the driveway, but he really was actually in compliance. So the quote was, that's we great. Kind of hit the sweet spot between following the rules and making an elegant statement to the contrary.
Phenomenal.
The only action I'm going to, and the manager said, the only action I'm going to take is a high five and that's it.
Bravo.
That's rich people's games. That's rich man's games, but it is, it's but good stuff.
Bravo. Well done. Yeah.
Hilarious. Good shit.
How about you, Jesse? What you got?
Well, this comes by way of futurism.com, but more importantly, every radio station in the history of the radio broadcasting frequency, apparently everyone's talking about the fact that recently Harvard scientists...
Fuck, it's my article. All right.
Well, then, no, all right.
No, no, it's fine.
You take this because it is exactly the kind of thing that I know you love, but I am convinced... means nothing. So please, go for it.
Let's just talk about it.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. It does mean nothing. Like, what this is, so yeah, as Jesse was saying, Harvard social scientists basically lay out like, okay, well, UAPs are big and popular. Now, did you read the article? Did you read the paper, Jesse?
Yeah.
So they really basically break down in the very beginning of it anyway, like UAPs, modern history and government, what's been going on now, everything leading up to it. And they kind of really break it down. And they're like, this paper isn't about if they're extraterrestrial or if they're interdimensional. This is strictly about, is it possible that there's a breakaway civilization that can like live in on Earth with us, whether it be underwater or fucking like in mountains and stuff. And so I think it was four of them got together. Yeah. Thomas Lynn, Tom and Tim Lamas, Brendan Case and Michael Paul Masters. These are the guys that put this paper together and they basically lay out the case like, is it possible? Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's possible. Like not out of like evidence that it's happening, but like if it was to happen, they basically go down to say like it would have happened maybe 65 million years ago. Something would have survived the extinction event of that particular time, would have went underground and continued to evolve for millions of years afterward, leading to whatever, whether it be insectoid, reptile, whatever the fuck you want to call it, down there. Yeah, it is possible because like extinction events don't wipe out every living thing on the planet. They just wipe out most things on the planet. And there are multiple extinction events that have gone on. This is not a paper saying this is definitely happening either. This is not trying to sell you on the idea that these are 100% happening. They're just simply saying scientists shouldn't, they even say at the end of the paper, other scientists will balk at this and laugh. All we're saying is like, just keep an open mind. If we're going to look into UAPs and what these things are, you need to take in everything. And as far as we can like put together with their, you know, education, yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility that maybe something broke away and like evolved alongside us or like evolved well before us and then before we came around.
This
That's
is
basically what it is.
The Eternals is what it is. Is what we're talking about right now. The thing is that Eternals.
The pickup that happened from this wasn't here's the nuanced take that a bunch of Harvard scientists have. The pickup was
no.
Harvard scientists say that there could be unknown aliens living in the planet. And everyone was like, oh,
they went nuts.
It's a whole bunch of nothing.
It got put up on our subreddit and a lot of people put comments like basically giving away that they didn't read it at all because they're assuming that the paper is like saying that this
pro
is happening.
Those ideas.
Yeah. And it's like, no, read it. It's like, it's 16 and a half pages of report and then 17 or 18 pages of references. So it's not that long. You can literally just read the 16 pages and it's laying out like, hey, if these things are real, if we're going to spend time doing this, don't close yourself off to this as well as being one of the possibilities because, hey, it's possible.
What it is, honestly, is like basic ufology where it's like they could be coming from anywhere, which has been a stat. Like even the craziest UFO guy is like, it could be a different dimension. It could be from inside the earth. It could be underwater. It could be space. Like, and the other saying is that's what it could be. And it's a bunch of scientists saying it. And so
they're agreeing that it's not
big
impossible.
Change or difference here.
They don't even say in the paper, this is definitely happening. This is them literally like, okay, this is in the public sphere right now in a way it's not been before. Yeah. There's a ton of like different scientific angles and eyes with like Avi Loeb doing his stuff. Let's just see if one of the possibilities that people talk about is possible.
And I respect the shit out of that.
It's because they relies on physics and physical, the thing physically being on the planet, not interdimensionally warping in or anything like that. So yeah, they say it is possible. Is it likely? Probably not, right? Like, but it's not impossible. And that's some people are just going to hear that and run and make that to them means like it is like all the news are people, the news stations did. But Jesse's right. Like the way they were touting it in the media is not at all what the paper's about. And you should read it. You should genuinely read it. If you have an interest in this stuff, it's a good read.
If anything, you'll get more honest information from this podcast than you will from most of the people reporting on this story.
Real talk. That's unfortunately true.
Real talk.
Yeah,
that's unfortunately true. That's it for me. Did you have anything else, Jesse? Or is that it?
I mean, that's what I want to talk about because that's the thing that was most important to me this week. I was like, okay.
We very rarely actually do a mini. For minisodes become mini, so this is one of your rare actual minisodes. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Go read that paper. I'll make sure the link is somewhere nearby, but you can just Google Harvard scientists, social scientists, aliens, and it'll fucking pop up.
Love
that. It's only a few days old. Yeah.
Bazinga.
Thank you guys so much for supporting us. We appreciate you. We love you. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, my little children, aunts, and welcome to Minisode number 82. Dude, one of these I'm gonna get my guitar. I'll play like a chill.
Hello,
like,
police. I'd like to report a crime. Crime against music, a crime against humanity. Hello, Hague. I'd like to report a crime.
What's the nature of the crime, sir? These guys sound pretty chill to me, actually.
Crime against humanity.
From what I can hear, it sounds pretty chill over there, sir.
Accidentally, you don't realize the Chilluminati reaches all branches of world government.
It goes all the way to the top.
Everybody who's relaxed, that's us.
So we pick
everybody who's actually pleasant to speak with. Us doing our job.
We pitched Milo the Minisode and we told him about sexy aliens and he was out. He was just like, we gotta go. Actually, you know what? I have things I gotta go do. And he bounced. It was great to have him on. I'm really excited to talk about today though, but what do you guys bring? Let's start with
can I get freaky?
Yeah, please do. Get freaky.
All right. This is simple and it's quick. I love this. So currently, a team is on Alcatraz doing a bunch of scientific work regarding erosion and climate change and things like that. And they're just on the island doing their work. But the problem is they were on the island for 3 weeks. And during the 3 weeks, they had to sleep on the island. And so a lot of them, you know, this meant no fun mattresses or showers or heat at all. They what? Had the communal toilets that had been there forever, and they had to bring their own food, right? Now, mind you, they could just, like, take a ferry back to the mainland. It's not that far from San Francisco, but, you know, whatever. They're on the island. And so one of the things they had to do was sleep there. And, of course, nighttime on the island on a prison is spooky. And all of them have tales to tell That's about so how spooky good. It was.
I love that.
And so one of the best ones is they had spent a lot of time sleeping in the hospital wing, kind of close to where the mentally ill patients were held. And so they all slept close together, and they were kind of like, we don't want to, you know, sleep in different places. But eventually, one night, most of the guys on the team, they snored a little bit. One member, though, he was a retired law enforcement officer. He was very loud. He snored extremely loud. And so the team said, hey, can you please sleep in the mugshot room instead of D block or somewhere else, like just a little further away so we don't have to hear your loud snoring? The next day, the lead on this, Pete Kelsey, he went over to go get the guy, and he found the team member outside of the mugshot room sleeping in his gear. And when the man woke up, Kelsey asked him, what happened? Why are you sleeping outside? And the volunteer said, I'm never sleeping in that room again, no matter what you have me do. He explained that in the middle of the night, he woke up to the sound of a crowd of people in the room.
Holy shit.
And apparently above the mugshot room, he heard just a bunch of people talking. And he said these ghosts, air quote, were moving furniture around, and a non-existent piano band playing. He grabbed his stuff, left the room, and he was like, I'm not going back in there. From that point on, everyone put up with the snoring. And so, and the rest of the article is talking about, you know, that Alcatraz has many haunting stories. But I thought it was interesting that these guys are just there to do one job, and they're like, nah, dude, I'm not even. Even if it's just psychosomatic, it's in his head because he's away from everyone in a prison at night. Who knows who's there?
Here's
and
the
he
thing.
Just made it all happen.
Here's the thing.
In his own head, it's still Dude, scary.
Have you been there?
I have. Yeah.
It's fucking scary there. I don't know what to tell you then. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't witness to any sort of paranormal entity or vision or sound that sounded out of the ordinary, but that feeling, you know, that dreadful feeling is in abundance on Alcatraz Island, even in the daytime. Sometimes you could like go around a corner and there's nobody there, you know, like you're like, you feel kind of alone for a second. It's a weird place. It's a desolate,
I don't know if it has to do with,
place.
I don't know if it has to do with the sensation of being trapped, but being close to the bars, being close to the cells, there's something in it where you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And it, honestly, hey, hi, Jesse Cox here. If you ever just want to convince yourself that maybe you shouldn't commit crimes, go spend some time in an actual jail. Like, just go hang out and go on a tour of a jail. Like, just go to a jail.
Just remind yourself the 13th Amendment exists. Just remind yourself the 13th Amendment exists, and they will use the labor at the shit out of you. You will. This is not a pleasant
place.
Just
like, you know, just, you know, go and like hang out in an old prison for a little bit, and you'll be like, yo, I couldn't do this.
Watch that movie, Escape from Alcatraz, with Clint Eastwood, and tell me if you want to be in jail.
Unless you're Sean Connery or Nick Cage and you have to get back into. Have I ever mentioned that the first time I went to San Francisco was while they were filming the movie The Rock?
What?
And we went out to dinner, and next to us was Sean Connery eating food.
What?
Wow.
That was 1994, I think. Yeah.
Do
it was
you
a
long, believe,
92. It was a while ago.
Do you believe that it's James Bond in your head canon?
Oh, that in that movie? Oh, for sure. I think headcanon, James Bond.
That he's James Bond, like, after he's lost his job?
It makes the movie more fun. I like it.
That's the
I didn't steal your Humvee.
Yeah, that's the little twist that you can add to that movie to make it better.
Why else would he have all that information?
Yeah. I look, you can even skate at Alcatraz and Tony Hawk, and it's scary. I have
Alex,
like
what do you have?
I have an actual like fairly chthonic eldritch like real account from r/paranormal to read for you guys. As you know, I read r/paranormal all the time. This is from user WHWHSDH. Okay. Rouge.
Okay.
This is eerie experience in a mountain. Here we go. This experience bugged me for 10 years, and I finally decided to share it with other people. In my final year of high school, one afternoon, I decided to go on another expedition to explore the local mountain a few miles away from my home. On the way back, I saw a small trail that I never explored before, so I veered off from the main road and walked into the woods. Soon, I got through, and there was an open field. A sense of familiarity struck me, but I don't remember that I've been to this place before. Suddenly, something caught my attention. A yellow, jade-looking thing glittering under the warm sunset. I picked it out of the soil. It looks like a piece of bone. It was shaped like a diamond and about a few millimeters thick. For some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to do a bit of digging. However, I was in the middle of nowhere, and without any handy tools, I could only scrape the surface with that bone shard I found on the ground. As I dig, the soil got different from the brown layer on the surface. It turned slightly red and got some white substance, like beef tallow, mixed into it. I felt more and more dizzy as I scrape, and this is where my memory got vague. I lost track of time, and the next moment I regained clarity, it was dark already. Surrounded by eerie silence, my shirt was soaked in sweat, and I felt a chill running down my spine. I ran back to the main road in panic with the aid of the dim light from the sky. Once I'm home, I'm immediately told my parents the entire thing. My dad sat there for quite a while processing what I said and promised to check that place with me tomorrow. In the morning, we repeated the same route, and I just couldn't find that trail anymore. Till this day, I can still remember that stale sweet smell of the red-white soil under that yellow glittering bone shard. The end.
Huh.
Interesting.
I'm just like, huh.
Pretty good.
I like that it isn't anything, but it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, It implies something.
Right.
But it's just weird enough that it doesn't seem real. You know what I mean? It's just weird enough.
It's a good story. I like it.
I mean, it's just weird enough that it does seem real. Like, it doesn't have like a narrative to it other than that, like, they got high on a mountain. I like that. That's a fun one. I don't know. I just thought you guys might want to hear that. It was a neat one.
It's cool. Maybe they got a book about aliens. Who knows? All right. I'm bringing science today.
Oh, shit.
I'm bringing the science.
The enemy.
Actually, happened. This is an article that this is being reported out today. This is like happening only a few hours ago. Astronomers for the very first time actually watch a supermassive black hole awaken. This is everywhere. You can watch it. I read on Forbes, Space, CNN. It's all over the place. Take a look. I'll keep reading.
Now,
this is from CNN specifically.
Now, when you say awaken.
I'll read.
Yeah, okay.
Astronomers are witnessing a never-before-seen spectacle in the cosmos, the awakening of a supermassive black hole at the center of a distant galaxy. In late 2019, a team of astronomers took notice of an otherwise unremarkable galaxy named SDSS1335+0728, which is 300 million light years away in the Virgo constellation.
Not the most Google.
A sudden spike in the galaxy's brightness had been automatically detected by the Zwicky Transient Facilities Telescope at the Palomar Observatory in California. With its extreme wide field view, the camera scans the entire northern sky every 2 days, capturing data on celestial objects. An interdisciplinary team of astronomers and engineers followed up on the observation by using information from space and ground-based telescopes to see how the galaxy's luminosity changed over time. And to their surprise, the researchers realized they were witnessing a unique moment as a cosmic monster awakened. Their study findings have been accepted for publication in the journal Astronomy and Astrophysics. Quote, imagine you've been observing a distant galaxy for years and it always seemed calm and active, said lead study author Paula Sanchez-Saiz, an astronomer at the European Southern Observatory in Germany. Quote, suddenly its core parts start showing dramatic changes in brightness, unlike any typical events we've seen before. The team classified the galaxy as having an active galactic nucleus or a bright compact region that is powered by a supermassive black hole. And a number of celestial scenarios can cause a galaxy to sudden brighten, such as a supernova explosion or when stars draw too near to black holes and become torn apart during a phenomenon called tidal disruption events. Let's just skip down to like kind of the good shit here. They basically compare data with a bunch of different. It is. It's insane. They a bunch of different studies and observatories compared data over the course of the time. And given the fact that it was 300 million light years away, the events that the astronomers are seeing happened obviously kind of quote unquote in the past. But the light from these events is just reaching Earth now across the space for it took about a million years for the light of this to get to where we are. The most tangible option to explain the phenomenon is that we are seeing how the core of the galaxy is beginning to show activity. If so, this would be the first time that we see the activation of a massive black hole in real time. So they're just watching the black hole of this galaxy grow. It's going from massive to supermassive. It's for the very first time they actually get to see it in action. It's fucking like cool.
Humbling to even think about it is staggering. To imagine the scale of what is occurring is upsetting. It makes me feel like
a tiny little... the size of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me feel like a little piece of grease. A little wormy, a little bug boy, a nasty little critter, a little bacteria.
What they're
boy.
Saying is they're able to observe the awakening of the black hole suddenly starting to feast on gas available in its surroundings, becoming very bright. So it just started like sucking in a bunch more gas and it just started, you know, growing from there. They said the same scenario may play out in Sagittarius A, the supermassive black hole at the center of the Milky Way, but astronomers aren't sure how likely it is to occur. They just don't know. So yeah, just some more shit that we finally get to see that we've never seen before.
I wonder if you were in that like area of space.
How would it affect you?
Like, yeah, would you know? And if it started, I guess because black holes are still a mystery, really. Time and space would dilate. So would it be like, oh, dude, we're totally screwed? Or would it take millennia for it to even affect you? You know what I mean? Like, it would always just be there.
That's got to be some kind of weird, like, science. Like, that's probably, like, a much more complex question than we realize or something. You know what I mean? Like, some kind of strange Mathis quantum era.
I was actually going to say, like, when they say 300 million years ago, I was reading, it's like, that's just the easiest way for them to describe it. It's happening in a place in a galaxy that is exactly like where we were in the galaxy 300 million years ago, which to me makes no sense. I don't understand that.
Wait,
but it's
say
just
that
like,
one more, again, just say that one more time.
So it's not happening 300 million years ago. It's happening in a place where our solar system was in space 300 million years ago. So like that place in space,
okay,
is right. Where we were 300 million years ago, but because space grows, space just out of nothing continues to grow. It's not that we're moving as much as space is building more space in between us and other things.
Gotcha.
And it's just like,
so they're not determining the age of the place; they're determining the distance, is what you're saying.
Because like when it gets to like three, it's more of like measuring a distance. It's because like when you say 300 million years, it's more or less like useless at that point. Like it doesn't really matter. But technically, it did take them like that much time. It's just, again, it's that thing we were talking about in the main episode where I can't comprehend what they say.
And how big of an area of space is this?
It's the center of the Virgo it's the center of a galaxy that's 5.88 trillion miles wide.
So it's just, there's just like straight up just a 5.88 galaxy.
5.88 trillion miles wide.
It's just like, you can't, how do you even?
This makes more sense. So the idea is like, if there's two galaxies, right? If you're doing star to star, if it's like Earth to another star, you can do light years. But two galaxies are so vastly far away that basically it's saying that in the shift of everything, at a certain point in time, we were where it is now, but we've moved to here. So now it's here. And essentially, this galaxy is super massive black holing, and there's just some crazy, who knows what that, I mean, if you're on the outer edge of that galaxy, if you're like the Earth of that galaxy, what is the timetable for your sucking into a black hole?
Yeah, would it ever actually happen? Forever? What does it even feel like to be sucked into a black hole?
Well, I mean, it takes time, right? So it would take, you wouldn't be sucked in immediately.
I don't know. Does it suck your time away?
No, when you get like, I've watched many videos on like, what would happen if you go into a black hole? Like if you don't die instantly, basically what happens is time and space get reversed. And now there's infinite space, but time is finite. So you kind of like can see yourself and eventually everything starts to constrain as you reach the epicenter. And then space starts to confine and time starts to confine until you are just basically spaghettified and become
singularity. But
generally I'm with you. But then you say something like there's infinite space. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means for there to be infinite space. That doesn't make any sense.
But there's the problem of if the black hole's in the middle and we're on the outside, the black hole wouldn't just suck everything up immediately, or else the whole universe would be sucked immediately. So it would take a lot of time.
What would happen is it would create gravitational waves, and that's what I'm very curious what would happen, because like we'll be able to detect. Remember, we detected gravitational waves from a supernova in like our 2 mile long structure that was able to measure. I think Alex brought that topic to a minisode at one point. I imagine like. That what? I would wonder, like, how does that fuck up everything in the area? We have on Earth a building that is multiple buildings that has like it's built identically in two prongs, 2 mile wide, yes. Or in 2 mile long rather areas. And these detect gravitational waves because like they were able to detect reality. Because one of them became millimeters shorter than the other one as the gravitational wave from a supernova millions and millions light years away finally reached us. Like, what would it be like if you were there close to those gravitational waves from like a fucking suit, like a black hole growing? Like, what would that do? I don't know. Anything theoretically, at all? Would you be able to detect
it? Theoretically, we probably felt it already, right? For it to cross through like the desert of Arizona, it's probably passed through us. It's weird to think about that. It's weird to think about like maybe it's so the way weird.
I linked the CNN article as well, like if you want to read it and shit like that.
Times at different times. Like how sometimes it seems like things take forever and sometimes it doesn't. Like, what if that's part of it? Like, what what if our own perception of it is us witnessing it, being affected by it? Because our perception
is part of it. I'm going to read this. This is an astronomer's like breakdown on Reddit here. Let me just read this. It says, astronomer here. Well, this is pretty interesting. Thank you, Andromeda 321, by the way. So in our universe, it appears that essentially all large galaxies have a supermassive black hole at their center. Most of those in our local environment are not really interacting with matter enough to be detectable. We call those quiescent because matter isn't falling into them enough to detect said matter before it passes the event horizon. In some cases, however, you'll see activity from a supermassive black hole. This is then active and called an active galactic nucleus. So called because we found them before we knew black holes were doing the activity. We think they're fueled by regular amounts of dust accreting on the black hole and feeding it. So like spinning from its like accretion disk.
Dust.
Though it should be noted that active galactic nucleuses are weird. They can flare up and down and be super variable. And if you ask people who study them about something weird in an AGN, what an AGN does, they'll be like, yeah, they can do weird things like that. She goes, I know this firsthand. Now, this supermassive black hole is exceptionally weird, even for an active one. Looks like this black hole has turned on and was previously quiescent, so off, and is now a hotbed of emission. That usually doesn't happen. As most astronomical things happen on timescales longer than our lifetimes, but not impossible. The team also considers other options. For example, it could be a tidal disruption event, where a star wandered too close and got shredded by the supermassive black hole. But those are much more luminous and shorter lasting events, so it's less likely. It's so a neat crazy. Discovery.
That's so like punk.
Yeah. It's brighter insane. For too long. It's like, yeah. Yeah. Right, it's just like okay, fucking. What does that mean?
You know? Insane, it's sick, it's psychedelic, it's unbelievable.
It is. It's fucking cool shit. I think it's wild.
It's rad. But
like, it's weird that we get to see it because something I thought of, but like, yeah, it would happen over the time of millions of years, so we wouldn't even see much change in anything as it happened. It just happens so slowly. So to see it brighten up and then last for a long ass time is wild. Well. I leave you with that, boys. Blowing your minds with a black hole. And we're out of here. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you all so much here on patreon.com/IlluminatiPod for supporting us. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.